God bless you, Jeremy.
First of all, I just want to thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to speak. I do count it a privilege to be in front of my own congregation, be able to preach God's word to you. I don't recognize a lot of you. I've been kind of in and out for the past 5 years in college, and so just like to start off by giving a brief testimony of what I've been doing. I think it was 6 years ago, the church had a missions conference, and Paul Pritchard with Preach Evangelistic Ministries stayed at our house. And while he was there, the Lord convicted me to go to Mozambique, Africa with him. In 2002, I did that for 5 weeks. We were in Mozambique, Africa. And the Lord just really burdened my heart for missions. And just seeing those people over there, it really started a fire in my heart for missions. And the next year, in 2003, I went again for 5 weeks. And again, the Lord just strengthened that burden for missions. And so I knew that the Lord wanted me to have that in my life, although I wasn't sure the area. And so I went to Pensacola Christian College for 2.5 years studying broadcasting. And I thought that I could use that to make missions videos. Then after 5 semesters, I felt the Lord calling me to full-time missions. So I just started praying for a school that was totally focused on missions. And the Lord provided that just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. There was a small school. And I went there for 2 years studying missions. And it was probably the best 2 years of my life, just growing in the Word of God and in, you know, the King James Bible. And just learning about missions and missions in the Bible. And that was just a real blessing. And so that's where I'm at now. I just graduated last month or the month before. And I'm really looking forward to see what God's going to do in my life. Right now, I just plan on working for a few years and saving some money. And so if you would all just pray for me for God's guidance in my life, and that I would be obedient to wherever He calls me. And with that said, please turn to Matthew chapter 12. If you asked me 6 years ago if I thought I'd be behind this pulpit, I'd say no way. I'm just not a, never saw myself as a very good public speaker. I get the shakes. But that's what God does. He uses people that don't seem like they could be used. He picks some of the most non-desirable people to do His will. And I am glad that He chose me for missions, and also to be here tonight and to speak to you. And even though this vessel of mine might be a little shaky, as long as it's filled with the Holy Spirit, I think it'll do. In Matthew chapter 12, if I can get there, verse 35 through 37. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. How often in our lifetimes do we go around speaking idle words and not things that are important? What are idle words? Idle words are everything except the gospel, everything except the word of God. And we do it on a day-to-day basis. I know I've failed so much in this area, and I think that's why the Lord would have me speak on it. Because it's not just for you, but it's for me. And if I got up here tonight and started speaking to you about how the weather's been, and started speaking to you about the gas prices, and then maybe started speaking to you about sports, if I did that for a half an hour, went over there and sat down, you'd probably think I was crazy. And I doubt I'd be able to preach again. But in our daily lives, isn't that what happens? We go out and we speak to lost people, and we speak to them about all these things, and all these things are fine to speak about. But if we leave out the gospel, if we leave out Christ, they're just idle words. And we're living in a spiritual idleness and not doing God's will. Because God's will for Christians is to witness to the lost. That's the only reason we're here. If it wasn't for that, after salvation, we could go straight to heaven. But God has a job for us. And it's to witness to the lost. And I think this is very important, especially with the 3rd of July coming up upon us. Because there's going to be many lost people out there. We need to be a witness and have a testimony and show them God and not just speak idle words. First thing I see is that we have a commandment given to us. If you would turn to Matthew 28, it's a very familiar passage to most people. It's known as the Great Commission. In verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Some people see this as a good missions verse, and I've studied this a lot in missions. But it's not just for missionaries, it's for every Christian. It's a command to every Christian saying, go forth. It's because of the power that's been given to God. He created the world that we walk on. He created you and me, and He created everything on it. And beyond that, He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. He is powerful, and it's because of His power and because of His love that we must obey Him, because He's worthy of it. He's worthy of our obedience. And it's not just here. It's never changed throughout the whole Bible, throughout the whole Old Testament. It's always been the same. God wants the world to see His glory. With Adam and Eve, I believe they knew that they needed a Savior, because in Genesis 3:15, we see that He told them that the seed of the woman, the Savior, would come and defeat Satan. And they knew that, and they taught their children. They taught Abel. They taught Cain. And Abel, he was obedient. And God found goodness in his sacrifice. But Cain, he didn't believe them. He believed in works, and he gave the works of his hands, the cursed ground. And God was not happy with that. And they knew, because Adam and Eve, I believe, told them. And it was their job or their commandment to tell them to spread the word. And even the Abrahamic covenant, we go back and we see that God said, I will bless you as a nation. I'll create of you a good nation. But there was another part of that. And He said, you will be a blessing to all nations of the world. And so it was a calling. And Jesus Christ, of course, came from the seed and was a blessing to all the nations of the world. But it was also a calling to show the world God's glory. And He did that through the Jews. He did that in Egypt. He showed His wonders that the whole world may know His glory. And then the prophets. The prophets had a commandment. They had a command to go and tell people of things, of future events, of the Messiah. And they were obedient, and they went, and they told them. Nothing has changed for us. We're in the church age now. And our commandment is to go and tell people of what Christ did on the cross. That's His goal for all of our lives. And it is a commandment. Acts 26, please turn to Acts 26. This verse 18 is very important for me. I was in Venezuela last year, and the Lord showed me this verse, and it really just burdened my heart, and it really means a lot to me. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And you have seen it too, just as I have. People are blind. People are in darkness. It's not just in Africa, it's here in the United States. Darkness. And so we need to open their eyes. We need to show them the light, because we have it. If you're a born-again believer, then you have that light. You aren't blind. And so we need to go to those who are and show them, because we have a part of this inheritance. And it's the best thing in the world, this inheritance that we have. You turn to Romans chapter 8 with me, just to see how great this inheritance is. And Romans verse 8, verses 16 through 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We're going to have a part in the glory of God, and one day we'll be able to see His glory. But we'll have a part in that, and we'll be joint heirs with Christ. That alone is just, it's mind-blowing. But what's even more amazing is that we can go through life and not tell people that we meet about this inheritance that we have. We can go and we can talk to people, and all that comes out is idle words, because sometimes we forget. I appreciate the open prayer. the opening prayer, because he said that sometimes we get so caught up in life that we forget about what's important. It's this inheritance and sharing it with the world. And that's our calling. That's our command in life, to share this, that they too might have a part in this glory. Why would we want anybody not to have a part in this? So the question is, will we follow his command and tell others? Another thing I see is that we have a choice. But it's not the choice that many people in America think it is. So many Christians in America think they have a choice to whether they can witness or not witness. And so they choose to not witness. They leave that to the preachers and to the missionaries and to the evangelists. And they say, that's a choice we have. And we're not called to witness. But that's a lie. And then they'll look at the world and they'll say, we need a revival. But revival starts here. It starts with us being obedient to his command and going out and witnessing. And if we're not witnessing, why would there be a revival if we aren't obedient to his calling? And so the choice is not whether we be a witness or not, but rather it's whether we're going to be obedient to God's command or whether we're going to be living in disobedience and not going out and not witnessing to our neighbors, to those around us. It's not just the world halfway around. It's right here. It's right next door. It's right here in Norwood. In Philippians chapter 2, we see another example of obedience. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ is our example of how we're to be obedient. If he was obedient unto death for us and died on the cross for our sins, how much more do we need to be obedient unto him and to tell those around us who are dying and going to hell, to tell them that there is an escape, that there is a Savior. And if he was obedient unto death, then that's what we should surrender to do. We should surrender to be obedient and follow his command and reach the world in his name. And then thirdly, I see that we all have a calling. Everybody has a calling in life, and not all are called to ministry. This is true. Not all are called to be pastors or missionaries, but we all do have a calling. And there's people that preachers can't reach. There's people in construction areas or in law enforcement or in politics or lawyers or any business major. But I know Christians in all those areas. And that's their callings. They're called to work in those areas. They're called to be a witness in those areas because we each have certain opportunities in our life that other people do not have. And if we're all witnessing, though, if we don't just leave it to the pastors of this nation, if we do it ourselves in all these areas, then we'll be able to reach the world because God has placed us in these different areas because there's different opportunities. The command never changes, though, no matter what your calling is, no matter where you work, the command never changes. The command is go and tell them of this inheritance that they can have because we're always to be a witness no matter what. I've learned in the past, I've learned two things that help you become a better witness, and I'd like to share them with you. These have really helped me out in my life. And when I was 10 years old, I got saved. It was the best day of my life. And I just had a joy that overcame me, and it was just amazing. And I wanted to tell my family, my lost loved ones, about this because I thought they would be excited too. But they weren't as excited as I was, unfortunately, and it kind of put a damper on my spirit. I just didn't have that joy anymore. I kind of lost touch with that joy. And it was really until Mozambique, Africa, that I regained that joy. And so, first of all, you must have the joy of your salvation. Please turn to Psalms 51 with me. Psalms 51, verses 12 and 13. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. When I was in Mozambique, and even in Venezuela, I saw it, the believers there, especially in Mozambique, they had nothing. They lived in huts, and they ate what they could grow. They had the clothes on their back, and yet they had this joy. And I was reminded of the joy of my salvation, the joy that I had when I got saved. And I saw these people and the smile on their face and their joy in just witnessing to others. Even though they had nothing, they had Christ. And that was more than everything. And so it's a daily prayer. Just a daily prayer saying, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And with that, we can become a better witness because it compels us. It's in verse 15. It says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. It's after we restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. If we have that every day, think of how many people we can reach for him, because they'll see that joy in us. They'll say, what does he have? Or what does she have? It's the joy of salvation. If you've never experienced this joy, I burden you. Don't leave this building without knowing it. And it's so simple to know it, because Christ died on the cross for your sins. And if you go to him with a broken heart and say, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart. I believe in you. He is just to forgive us. And he will give you this joy. And just pray daily that you would have this joy restored in you, that you could be a better witness for God. Also, secondly, I learned that you have to have a broken heart to witness to the lost. In Psalms 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In Mozambique, again, I regained this. I looked at those past years from 10 to 17 that I hardly witnessed to anybody. And I looked at those years lost and all the people I could have witnessed to but didn't. And it broke my heart, and it still breaks my heart. And even today, I fail many times in witnessing to people, and it breaks my heart because I see those people that I could have told, may I have another, never have an opportunity again to witness to them. It breaks my heart because I know that their blood is on my hands. Please turn to Ezekiel with me. Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. I read that, and I know that I have the blood of sinners on my hand, people that I haven't told. And I'm not to deal with that one day at the judgment seat. But thankfully, God will wipe away our tears. But you have to have both of these to reach the lost. You have to have the joy and the broken heart. And with those two things, we can reach the world for God. And our hearts need to be broken of things that break God's heart. The Bible says that Jesus wept. But why did he weep? Was it because Lazarus was dead? Lazarus, as far as I could tell, was a saved man. I don't think that's why he wept. Why didn't you come sooner to save him from death? And he wept. They saw him weeping and they say, did he not heal the blind? Couldn't he have got here sooner to save him? And again, he mourned and groaned within himself. It was because of their disbelief. Did not he have power over death itself? And yet he wept because of their disbelief. So the same thing should make us weep. When we see people in disbelief out there in the world, we run into them every day. It should make us weep. And our hearts should be broken for them. And it should drive us. It should drive us to witness them, to tell them what we have. It's too good to be kept secret. And we do know that many people are going to hell, but that shouldn't stop our efforts. It should double it. C.H. Spurgeon said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned or unprayed for. So let's warn them and let's pray for them. Prayer is important. We need to pray for the lost. People we meet, we need to witness to them, and then we need to pray for them. Let our hearts be broken for them, and let the joy we have be a light to them. I'd like to read a short poem. Lord, I pray that you would break my heart for all those that I met, but did not tell thy salvation in the horrible truth of hell, for their blood is on my hands when we depart. Restore in me the joy of thy salvation, and Lord, I will do my best to fulfill my part in your holy will to reach every tribe, tongue, and nation. With broken heart and joy bound together to all those around me, I'll let your light shine. And for every soul won, the glory shall be thine. Then will my heart be healed, and my joy will be forever. Our hearts will be healed one day. If you turn to Psalms 147, Psalms 147, verse 3. The Bible says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. One day when we're in heaven after the judgment seat, He'll wipe away our tears and we'll never think about these things again. It'll be a glorious day. Our hearts won't be broken anymore. But until that day, let our hearts be broken with the things that break God's heart. And let us have the joy of our salvation restored unto us daily. And let us not forget the command. And no matter what your calling is in life, no matter what you do, I just pray that we would all obey the command of God and choose to obey the command of God and not live in disobedience. But we need to reach the world for Christ in everything. Let us not speak idle words. Let us not live in spiritual idleness. But instead, let us take what we have, what's been given to us, hidden in our hearts. Let's give it to them. Let's preach the gospel to the world. And then there'll be a revival in this country if we all surrender to witness for Him. Pastor.